What's that?
Yeah, I am.
Okay. Fellas, let's go. Let's start with the Rush. Okay, the Rush is a little bit chazara from yesterday. We're dealing with the Gemara in Chaf Hei Amud Beis. Chaf Hei Amud Beis, primarily the sugya of Mitztayer. I guess that's the best way to describe it. We'll see that there's going to be a number of subdivisions here in the world of Mitztayer. We're going to see Mitztayer. We'll see the case of the Chola. We'll see the case of the Avel. And we'll try to get maybe one working definition for all the cases of Mitztayer, if there is one. If not, I suppose we'll have to distinguish them. But let's start with the Rush, because the Rush puts the Gemara from yesterday in perspective. And it's a good way to get started with today's sugya. Someone want to just read the Rush? Just a couple of quick lines there. Good. Daniel, why don't you read?
Awesome.
Keep you focused there. Yep. Hey, George. Right, I think it's Amar Rav Ava Bar Zavda. Is that what you have? Amar Rav. Rav, right? Rav Ava Bar Zavda Amar Rav.
Maybe it's a slightly separate question, but why
do they separate from what?
No, from the topic.
Yeah.
Why do they always, make sure to...
That's part of Masorah, you know, when you say it over. You want to say it over in the name of the one who said it originally. So he said it over in the name of so-and-so. Who, that's very often the case. Sometimes you have a longer... You have a longer chain.
No, I'm saying that just because they have a need or because to show it's legitimate.
To I think it's both. You know, it's a way of preserving the Masorah, and B, when they would say things, they would say, I'm not saying this myself. I have this from a greater authority than myself.
So it's always, when they're saying it, they assume that the other authority is greater than them?
That's probably true also. That's a way of acknowledging that. Yeah.
Is it right? If I can call this number with my cell phone, that way we don't have to listen to the music. I have infinite number of minutes.
Sure.
Okay. Excellent. What's the number?
Infinite
number of minutes.
You don't want to.
I didn't know there was a number.
No.
Okay, sorry. What's the.
Okay, I'll give it to you. Yeah. Did you indicate to him to call?
Yeah, it's excellent. Second of all.
Here's the information.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is infinite. Okay, that's not for now. Come on. Okay, so go ahead. So Rav Abba Bar Zavda says the name of Rav, and then Avel is Chayiv in Sukkah. Right. This we saw in the Gemara, to which the Gemara responded by saying, "Hey, that's Pshita, that's Pashit. Of course, the Avel is going to be Chayiv in Sukkah. Why do you need to tell me that? Right? Why do you need to tell me that?" Go ahead.
Mahu
Detema. What does that mean, Mahu Detema? Mahu Detema doesn't mean what's it to teach us. What does it mean, Mahu Detema? What would I have thought? Mahu Detema means what would I have thought? Had it not told me this expressly, what would I thought? What would I have thought? Mahu Detema. Mahu means what is it? Mahu Detema, I'm sorry. Sharp screw on this chair. No, I shut that off as per your request.
Oh wait, no.
But you ended the call?
Yeah, that's what you asked me to do.
Oh, I thought. No. I think he's kidding.
Right?
No, I'm not kidding.
He's calling in.
So I thought you were going to call from your phone. You could set up the call from there.
No. I was going to.
Oh, you're going to be one of the participants in
that. Yeah, that way this wouldn't have to listen to the music.
So here,
should I dial it again?
You do it. You guys do whatever you want. Just someone read. Go ahead. So the Gemara said, Pashit, Mahu Detema, what would I have thought? What would I have thought?
Ho'il, since. Yamar Rabba Rabba says, Mitztayer.
Mitztayer.
Pater men asukka.
Since you have a rule, Mitztayer pater men asukka. Since you have a general rule, Mitztayer pater men asukka. I would reason, Hai Nami. Hai Nami, what does that mean? This one also. Nami Mitztayer. B'yeshivas HaSukkah. Yoser M'yeshivas HaBayis. What would I have thought? I would say this guy is a Mitztayer. Why? Because he's more uncomfortable. He's more upset than he is at home. Why? The Avel.
The Avel Chafetz.
Chafetz. What does Chafetz mean? Anyone?
Desires.
Wants or desires. Right? Avel Chafetz Lios. What does Lios mean? Lios. To be. Good. Chafetz Lios. He wants to be. Desires to be where? Misbode, by himself. V'yoshev b'makom tzar v'afel. He wants to be in a place of tzar and darkness. Kedei lios torud b'tzaro. He wants to be consumed with his tzar. And therefore, I'll think that for him, just like the case of Mitzta'er, classically, the person is potter. This guy also, I'll say he's potter. Why? Because he's Mitzta'er. He doesn't want to be out in the sukkah. It's upsetting for him to be in the sukkah. He would rather be at home. To which the Gemara says, no, honey mealy, kamash malon, says the Rosh, honey mealy, you got the last line, Daniel?
Yeah.
Sara de mamela. That's referring to a tsar of stam, star that's inherent in the, mamela means automatically, but we said it really means a tsar that comes from the thing itself. Comes from the thing itself. Aval hocha, Ihu.
Ihu kimitzar nafshe ubaile
the yisuve daite. So here he's the cause of his own sar, and we tell him mibaile li yisuve daite. We require that he get his head right. Okay, we don't say that you're potter. That's the kamash malan. So yesterday we gave a svara for this. We gave a svara what the Rosh was saying. What the Rosh was saying in the explanation of the Gemara. Zach, you with us?
Yes.
Okay, great. We're working on a new Skype option for you. Keep you posted.
Okay, thanks.
So the Rosh, again, presents the Gemara's Havim Maskana in the way that we just read. So what's the Svar? Avi? You want to explain? You want to take one side? Again, I think it's noteworthy, and hopefully everyone noticed this. I'm just trying to point it out to have everyone appreciate this. The Rosh could have told us that the Havamina case was any which case, right? Where there would be, I could just say the guy's in Tsar, and when he goes in the Sukkah, it's... he's still Bitzar. Why do you have to tell me that the Tzar is that he doesn't want to be in the sukkah and he wants to be in the house? Why do you use that as an example? Why couldn't he just say the guy is unhappy and he's going to be unhappy when he still comes out to the sukkah? So we should make him potter because he's going to be Bitzar in the sukkah. The Rosh went out of his way to do what? To paint a case where the sukkah was somehow lending to the Tzar. Does everyone see that? That's an important point. When you read a Rosh, when you read any Rishon for that matter, and you see a case and you say, wow, why do you have to come up with that case? That case sounds a little, I wouldn't have thought of that. There's a reason for it. He's trying to show you that the Gemara's Havamina, at least in his estimation, the Gemara's Havamina is still pertaining to a case where the sukkah is playing a role in the Tsar. It's not Stam, he's in Tsar over here and he's in Tsar over here. No. The sukkah is doing something for the tzar. What's it doing? Making it worse. He's upset. He's in mourning for his lost relative. So now he's going to be in mourning in the sukkah, but you know what? The sukkah makes it worse. So therefore what? So therefore hava amina what? By the way, what does hava amina mean? What's that? I would have thought. Havamina means what would be my first approach, my first way of looking at something. So the Rosh is telling you, the Gemara's first way of looking at this is that when the sukkah plays a role in the tzar, that's enough of a p'tur. That's enough to make this guy subject to the general rule of mitzta'er patur min ha-sukkah. When the sukkah plays a role in his tzar, that's enough to patur him mitzad mitzta'er patur min ha-sukkah. Does everyone see that? If that wasn't the case, then the Rosh could have simply said, He's an Avel. He's unhappy. He's still unhappy. So we'll make him putter from the sukkah. No, kamash v'lon. No, you're not putter unless something else. Unless you're, the patur is from the sukkah. That's radical. That's a radical change. Right? To say any tzar patters me from the sukkah. And the maskana is no, only tzar that stems from the sukkah patters you from the sukkah. The rush is narrowing the field. He's saying no. The Haman didn't maintain that any old tzar was enough to patter you. And that's why he says the case was that the sukkah played a role. That's the Havmina. The Havmina is that even though you need the sukkah to relate to the tzar, the sukkah has to play a role in the tzar that you experience, it could be evolved in a lesser way. Here, what did the sukkah do? It just increased your tzar. It made it worse. It played a role in your tzar, no question about it. Some of the tzar that you're experiencing now is a function of the sukkah. But it's not inherently because of the sukkah. All it did is increase its quantity. It didn't create the tzar for you. That's the maskana. The maskana is that's not enough. That's not enough. Because what's tzar? What is mitzar patim in a sukkah? That's the antithesis of teishu kein tadiru. Teishu kein tadiru means you sit in this place just like you would at home. Now you're in tzar? Oh, you would never sit over here with this kind of tzar. Oh, what kind of tzar is that? That's the kind of tzar that comes from here. It comes from the experience. But tzar that you have with you, no matter where you go, that's not tzar that's from here. It's not tzar that's inherently from this place. Now you'll tell me, being over here makes me more upset. Okay, that's the Gemara's kamash malon. That's not enough to say that the etzem experience of the sukkah, that the etzem yeshiva basukkah is flawed, and now it's lacking in teishu kein tadiru. Because that's not true. That's not true. I'm upset about something. I come home and I have to, be upset about it. Maybe I'm more upset, but my upset's not coming from home. I wouldn't say in a normal situation, a guy would never stay here because he's upset, and therefore it's not teishu kein tadiru. Right? Guy's upset because something happened at work. Now he comes home and he's in his house and he's upset, even though he's in his living room. Do I say there's a chisaron, there's lacking in his ability to enjoy his house? There's something wrong with his house? His house is flawed? The experience of living in his house is flawed? No, he's upset about something. He brought it home with him and that's it. Maybe being at home is more upsetting because he has to deal with other things. He's got to worry about his kids and his, everything else that he has at home. So maybe he's more upset, but the upset's not coming from home. So that's what we're saying here. In order to be putter from the sukkah, it has to be because there's a chisaron in teishu kein tadiru. That's only going to be the case where the tzar is fundamentally related to the sukkah, not where it's just making it worse. That's the maskana. That's the rush. Okay? Okay. All right, let's take a look at this ritva. Admittedly, the ritva is not necessarily talking about the same point as the rush. But we raised the question yesterday about why is the Gemara throwing in almost gratuitously this statement. And by the way, I should mention that there are others that ask this question and don't give this answer. Right? There are others that ask this question and don't give this answer. They're still bothered by this question. But the question is, if you tell me now that I'm only putter when the sukkah is the cause of the tzar, which is essentially what the Gemara is saying, why are you telling me get your head straight? Who cares if I get my head straight or not? Right? I should still be potter. I'm sorry, I should still be chayev. Why? Because my tzar doesn't stem from what? From the sukkah. So what are you telling me? Oh, mi boile li suve daite. Okay, it's nice eitzah, but manashach, I'm still going to be chayev in sukkah. I'm still going to be chayev in sukkah, right? You can't tell me that's the reason why I'm chayev in sukkah. Because mi boile li suve daite. No, you just told me that the tsar is my own tsar. It's not a tsar memela. It's a tsar de nafshei. Come tsar nafshei. Not it's your own tsar. It's your own personal creation. It's not a tsar that comes from memela. It's not a tsar from sukkah. So that's enough. I should be able to stop there and tell you that you're chayiv. What do you say? Oh, mi boile li suve daite. What does that mean? So we had some different theories yesterday. Sammy wanted to say that maybe it meant that even though you're putter, you're chayiv in the sukkah, listen, you should still be miyashiv your das so that you could properly enjoy being in the sukkah. It shouldn't just be there, What do you call that when a guy is there, but he's there against his will? Yeah, I'm saying in English. That's a...
Force majeure.
That's it.
Or duress?
Yeah, but a guy's here, he's here, he doesn't really want to be here. He's here...
Force as well.
Not conscientious objector. There's something like, you know, non-willing participant, something like that. There's a better term. There's a better term. And there's a guy's there, but he basically puts on the record, I don't want to be here. Right? He says, listen, I'm here, but I really don't want to be here. Just let the record show that I don't want to be here. So Sammy's saying, maybe that's what the Gemara means. Listen, you're chayiv and sukkah already. Why don't you be miyashiv yudas?
Take practical advice?
That's what he was saying. So I thought that was an interesting idea, but I said, it's hard to say that's really pshat in the Gemara. Look at this ritva. A very interesting ritva. It's two lines. Someone want to read the ritva? You'll tell me if you think the ritva is saying the same thing that Sammy's saying. Someone want to read it? Chaim, you want to give it a try? It's either one. Hada Amrina Ba'avo Rabasi. So you see in parentheses, is the ritva still out here? Did I put it away? I have the ritva. In the Mosadar of Kuk Ritva, also, they have that word Be'evo Rabasi. Evo Rabasi is one of those minor mesachtos. So the suggestion is that that's the makar for this, which is later cited by our Gemara. Otherwise, it's simply Darminam Be'avel, that which we say with regard to an Avel. So in the footnote here, 426, he claims Tevas Rabasi is Miyuseris. It's not supposed to be Evel Rabasi. The Ritva? There were apparently different girsas of this Ritva statement for whatever reason. Somehow, in some of the Ritva's girsas, it had the word Evel Rabasi and some it didn't. It could have crept in there at some point, or somehow, I don't know. I'm going to conjecture how it got there. But either way, in the Mosadar of Kuk edition, they claim that should be out. Just read it. Hadamrinim ba'avel. That which we say with regard to avel, to the concept of avel. Go ahead, you're doing great. Right, that which we say with regard to the avel, that he should be miyashiv his das. What about it?
Heirish, Mori. What's...
His Rebbe, saying his Rebbe said, Shekach Ro'i, Shelo Lepocho Min HaSukkah. Shekach Ro'i, Shelo Lepocho Min HaSukkah. We shouldn't potter the Ovel from the Sukkah.
Were you the one who underlined this?
Yeah, why? It's not. Then.
Well, how can we underline the statement starting from HaSukkah?
Okay. Should have been the next, the Kidei. It's okay. You're a tough crowd. I'm sorry. It shouldn't affect your reading. Okay, why? Why? We're not going to potter from the sukkah. By pottering from the sukkah, what are we going to tell him? We're going to tell him stay inside and continue to be upset. Right? Stay inside and continue to be upset. No. Instead, we say, yeah, you're chayiv in sukkah. Why do we tell him you're chayiv in sukkah according to this? Kidei, keep reading.
Kidei.
Kidei Shis Nachem. We tell him Yechayiv and Sukkah. Why we tell him Yechayiv and Sukkah? In order to be Menachem him. We want him to be consoled today. Why do we want him to be consoled? Because it's Yom Tov. The Chiyuv to be Simcha today. Not allowed to be Ba'avelos today. So the Ritva's Rebbe said that the reason why it's not proper to be Poter, this fellow, and we specifically Mechayiv him in Sukkah, is in order that what? She is nachem umiyasev daitei la. We tell him go in the sukkah specifically in order to be miyashev his das. That's the way the Ritva's Rebbe learned that Gemara.
Consistent with the Rosh.
What? It's not inconsistent with the Rosh, but he's simply explaining that language. That the language of miboyle li suve daitei is an explanation as to why we're mechayiv him to sit in the sukkah. I, it might be different than the Rosh, because he's giving a different reason why he's chayiv in sukkah. Right? He's giving a different reason why he's chayiv in sukkah. Now, it could very well be,
right,
according to this...
It's in line with the svar that we gave up.
Well, what I'm saying is, what would you say, according to the Ritva, if not for this idea, would the tsar be enough of a tsar to pater from the sukkah? According to the Rush, the tsar that he has is not enough of a tsar to pater from sukkah.
Well, the Ritter doesn't say anything about tsar pottering or not pottering. You can't tell one way or the other.
What do you mean? He's saying that it's not proper to pater him because we don't want him to be with tsar, we want him to be with simcha. Let's say that wasn't the case.
Yeah, Ritter would say that is good.
That's what it sounds like. Right? You see, that's an important step.
He's saying the only reason it's not good enough is because...
That's what it sounds like. That's what I'm suggesting. Sam, you seem a little bit confused by that. Do you understand what I'm suggesting?
I see what you're saying. You're
processing it.
Expression.
That's your expression? Expressionless? Okay, again. What the Ritva is saying is, you know what? He says, my Rebbe said that the reason why the Gemara throws in this lashon of being miyashiv his das is because that's the very reason why he's chayiv in sukkah. We're mechayiv him in sukkah in order to be miyashiv his das. What does that mean? It's Yom Tov today. Now to be b'tzar, come, go sit in the sukkah with everyone else and be b'simcha. But I think Chaim's correct when he says that according to the Ritva, it sounds like if not for this fact, this tsar would be enough. So according to the Ritva, the Havin Maskana in the Gemara doesn't necessarily pertain to the quality of the tsar. Right? This sounds like this tsar would be enough. We question how to really work that out in the Gemara. The Havmina is that just like the person whose mitzvah is potter from the sukkah, right? Just like the person whose mitzvah from the sukkah is potter, so too this guy is going to be potter because he's bitzar. So what does the Gemara say? According to the Ritva, no, kamash malon, no. No, we're not going to potter him from the sukkah. Why? Not because the tsar is not a bona fide tsar, but because his tsar now is affecting his Simchas Yom Tov. It's external. It's not because the tsar is not a valid tsar. This tsar might be good enough if it was left alone, but we're not allowed to leave this tsar unchecked. Boile li yisuve daite. You have to force him into the sukkah. Why? Because not allowed to be a tsar today. This type of tsar you can't experience today, even though it might be enough to pater from the sukkah. That's what it seems like the Ritva would be saying, which is different than the Rush. You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah, it seems like a funny thing to go a little bit to try and like quantify
different types of tsar.
Yeah.
There. I don't know about quantify.
Your father just died, but you can't be this upset about it. Like it's sukkah, so you gotta like kind of cheer up. Like it's kind of a funny. It seems like a funny way of looking at it.
I'm saying halacha, you see that. A normal person gets 7 days of a shiva, right?
Yeah.
Say a person dies, Erev Yontif. What do you tell the guy? Listen, okay, so now you still get 7 days of shiva? No. You say Yontif comes, that's it. No more shiva for you.
I understand saying that halachically he no longer has to.
Right. He's saying psychologically.
But to tell
emotionally.
Him psychologically, yeah, or emotionally, he's...
You can't...
He's got to cheer up. That's like... telling someone with cancer you have to get better.
You're telling him you have to sit in the sukkah. You have to sit in the sukkah because it's Yom Tov today. We want you to be with everyone else. We want you to be with Simcha. I understand that inside you might be still upset, but halacha requires you now to be with Simcha. So you got to do what you can, I guess, to... What's that, Zach? Say that again?
Would you be Yosei, like, technically speaking,
oh, so once that's the next the Taz is going to talk about that. Let's get to that. No one here is mentioning that idea of kavana yet. Okay, hold off on that for 1 minute. Do you have a Shulchan Aruch handy?
Yeah, I think we got one.
So if you get the Orech Chaim Chelek Gimel, where in Hilchos Sukkah Simon Tafresh Mem, I'm going to go through a Taz. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I don't know if you have the computer. You could probably get it on Hebrew Books. So if you have it there.
What's the
source? It's Shulchan Aruch Orech Chaim, Simen Tov Reish Mem. So if you have a printed Shulchan Aruch, it's the third Orech Chaim volume. Tov Reish Mem. Tov Reish Mem, Se'if Katan Chet Netaz. But 1 second, we're going to get there 1 second. Chaim, what were you saying? The last thing that you were saying?
Isn't the whole idea of the shiva so the guy comes to like a realization, right? Like it's supposed to be.
It's
like,
cathartic. It's it's necessary for him to grieve.
Right.
But so not to grieve excessively.
The opposite, isn't this like forcing him to like mass?
To not grieve?
Yeah. So like.
Halacha doesn't allow for the grieving now. It doesn't say that you have to change your emotion. Halacha never dictate your emotion. Right.
So the guy can be grieving and besimcha.
He's got to be besimcha. He's got to do those things which rise to the level of simchas yom tov. And here we're trying to make it. We are trying to put him in a state. According to this ritva, we're trying to put him in a state where he's going to be more besimcha. You do physical things on yom tov. It's true. On simchas yom tov is probably a key and belief. I mean, there are things that you do physically in order to bring about a certain state. So when it comes to simchas yom tov, yeah, you have to try to be besimcha. I think they said, the Gra said, that the hardest mitzvah to be mekayim is the mitzvah of simchas yom tov. You know, to be besimcha. Because not, you know, all those things that you do, drinking the wine and eating meat and doing those
things. Require...
No, so now I'm sort of qualifying it. I'm saying here on yom tov, you do find that halacha demands that you be at least in a certain...
Normally?
I mean,
do this, do that, doesn't really tell you what to feel.
Right. It's not a matter of...
don't covet.
Right.
Lo
sachmon. So even over there, the Rishonim say, how is it possible for the Torah to dictate how you feel about something? So some say, oh, it only means insofar as you're going to act on it. Right? If you look at it, you want it, that's half bad. But if you act on it, that's when the Isser is, when you act on it. Others say, no, I think the Ibn Ezra has that mashal. He says it's like the villager who sees the princess. So the villager sees the princess, he has no aspiration, you know, he has no thoughts of ever marrying that woman because she's out of his league. So that's what the Torah demands that we feel or that we think when we look at someone else's property, that's someone else's. I'm not gonna covet someone else's thing. You're right, that's a high level to demand of someone. But generally speaking, yeah, the Torah doesn't specifically say how you should feel about something. Now that doesn't mean that mitzvos aren't intended to put a person in a certain state. Right? There are mitzvos that are obviously intended to put a person in a state where he's able to think about things or able to experience things in a way that he might not otherwise be able to do.
Yeah, but here we're just telling him to cheer up.
Right. So you're saying that's...
We should pass over this result.
What do you mean?
I don't know. It's a hard one.
Well, that's what Chaim's bothered by.
Simple doesn't necessarily translate as happiness.
Well, I'm trying to say that on Yom Tov, for example, there are things that you do physically that are supposed to be kiyumim in Simchas Yom Tov. Ein simcha elo b'basar v'yayin. Right. If you look at the way the Mefarshim explains simcha.
Simcha doesn't necessarily clash with what he's feeling at the moment.
Well, it does. You can't experience simcha and avela simultaneously. I mean, that's why there's no avelas on Yom Tov. Yom Tov is a day of lifnei Hashem. A regel is marked by lifnei Hashem, which is simcha. Right,
so you're saying basically he just puts aside his avelos until after Yom Tov.
In some cases, he puts until after Yom Tov. In some cases, it's he's wiped out.
I'm not saying the act of avelos. I'm saying emotionally.
Right. So we try to tell him, listen, now you have an obligation to be besimcha. It's not easy. It's not easy, but that, you're right. That's what you're expected to do.
But then he can still be as much avelos emotionally as he wants after Yom Tov.
After Yom Tov is after Yom Tov.
Is this similar to the fact that like if someone dies on Shabbos then you don't?
Well, Shabbos doesn't have a chi of simcha. Shabbos is a little different. Shabbos is a day of oneg. Could be different reason why you don't have avails on Shabbos. You do have avails on Shabbos. Let's say during Shiva. Every Shiva has a Shabbos. Shabbos is part of Shiva. It's not mufka from avails. It's just that you don't do certain things on Shabbos. Shabbos doesn't have what's called avelos b'farhesia. You don't do things in public that are indicative of avelos. But at home, a person really is in a state of mourning. Let's say you can't get to a person to visit them to be menachem avel any other day of the week. And you can get there on Shabbos. Technically, you could be menachem avel on Shabbos. Technically, you could do nicham avel on Shabbos.
I was just recalling like two stories I heard of like great rabbis who like held in their emotion until Motzei Shabbos, or with Rebbe so-and-so's wife who
right.
her two sons died.
Right.
She didn't tell him until after Shabbos.
Right. Well, that was because she didn't tell him. Right?
So she really
had yeah.
But still, I mean, she didn't want to, she wanted to ruin his Kavod Shabbos, his owning Shabbos. Right. But Shabbos is different than Yontif. We don't.
Not a similar idea.
It's well, I don't want to say it's entirely dissimilar, but it's different.
Right.
One is Yontif is marked, and the very nature of the day of Yontif is a day of Simcha.
Right.
Day of Simcha cannot coincide with the day of Avelis.
Right.
That is true. That is true. Now Avelis, in the sense, means acting out all of the halachas of Avelis. If deep down the guy's still upset, there's nothing you can do about it. You can't tell him he's doing an Isser. Right, but we halacha tells him you have to be with Simcha. So now you can't brood in your house, you can't simply do things to make yourself upset. Today you have a chiyuv to make yourself besimcha and go sit in the sukkah. But it sounds like insofar as the tsar is concerned, that would still be a tsar that would otherwise pati you from sukkah, if not for the fact that there was a chiyuv of simcha siyamtif. Yes. That's what it seems like.
So the Ritva is saying that Simcha's Yom Tov is canceling out, that makes him sit in the sukkah, not the actual mitzvah sukkah that he would be pulled from. Is it
not the actual mitzvah? Well, he's chayiv in the mitzvah. We are chayiv in the mitzvah, but he says it's not. It can't be. You can't potter him. Ro'i shelo lepotro min ha-sukkah. Ro'i shelo potro sound. It's not proper. It's not befitting. It's not suitable to potter him. Why? Kedei shisnachem umiyasev daite. You're right. You know, it's insofar as the tzar and the mitzvah, you're right. He should be potter. But it's not ro'i to potter him today because he has to be b'simcha. This is a very novel approach. It answers up why that line is thrown in, which was similar to what you're saying, but it sort of changes the whole understanding of the tsar and the patur for the ritva. Very different than the rush. Yes? No?
Yes.
Okay. Clear? All right, let's move on to this taz. Did everyone get a chance to see this taz? Taz has another approach to the sugya. Taz has a totally different approach. So we saw the approach of the ritva, the approach of the Rosh. Now the Taz is an Achron. The Taz is an Achron. He is explaining the way Mitzdar Potam and Asukah works, and then gets into our Gemara. And he explains what the Gemara's Havmin and Maskana was as it pertains to the Ovel.
Is that his first and last name?
Taz?
Yeah.
It was the Turei Zahav. He wrote a commentary called the Turei Zahav. At the moment, his first and family name escaped me, but
Siegel.
What's that?
It's David Halevi Siegel.
David Halevi sounds right. Siegel, I don't know. You have it in front of you?
Yeah, but I was looking on Hebrew books.
Okay, and it says Siegel?
Yeah, that's what it says on Wikipedia.
Okay, could be. I wouldn't have remembered that. The Shach I know is Rappaport. The Shach is his last name is Rappaport. But Shabtai Yaakov and Rappaport, anything?
Bach
is Rav Yoel Sirkis. The Bach lived earlier than the Shach and Taz, right? Actually, the Bach and the Taz, if I'm not mistaken, were father-in-law and son-in-law. And the Taz was the son-in-law of the Bach, if I'm not mistaken. I think so. Okay. Let's take a crack at it. Someone who has some energy. Someone who has some energy, hasn't read today. Adam, you wanna? I don't know if you really qualify someone who has energy, but do you wanna try?
Sure.
Okay.
Avel chay b'sukkah.
Good. So the Avel chay b'sukkah. This is the Taz commenting on the Shulchan Aruch now. Tarvayu. The Trey Gav Nitzar Yesh. So the Taz comments, he says, you're right, there's two types of tzar. The Ovel is potter from Sukkah. I'm sorry, the Ovel is chayiv b'sukkah. at the same time that the chola is potter from the sukkah. The ovel is chayev, and the chola is potter. And he says, you know what? These are both truisms. Why is that so? Because trei gavni tsar yesh. There's two types of tsar. I hope the underlining is in the best possible place now.
The
Shulchan Aruch is talking about the different types of tzar. I didn't put that on the sheet.
Okay.
But you'll see, if you read through the Taz, as I'm hoping that you might have, nope. You'd see that he gets into the case of the chola. But you'll see in a minute if you didn't see previously. So what's the type of tzar, first type of tzar that he identifies?
Aleph.
Ha'achas.
Mitztair.
Hasukkah dafka. He's mitztair machmas hasukkah machmas sukkah dafka. What does that mean? The sukkah itself is the cause of his tsar. And then he explains colon da sukkah mevi lo tsar kishiyoshe sham. The tsar comes from the state of being in the sukkah. Compare with Rashi, who said the heat, the cold, the bugs, and the stench. Right? That would all stem from the sukkah itself. So if that's the type of tsar that one experiences, then as ein shayach patur, it's not shayach, it doesn't make sense to call that patur the patur of what? Machmas. Machmas means because of. Machmas tirda. We're not going to call that type of tsar a tsar of tirda. Okay? What's happening? Is that what you said to me?
Yeah.
What's happening is that the Taz is identifying two types of tsar as they pertain to sukkah. The first one is one that we've sort of been dealing with already, where the tsar stems from being in the sukkah itself. So it's that type of tsar. We're not going to call that tirda. That's just going to be, that's the old true blue tsar. That's tsar, what he calls tsar aleph over here. Mitztair in the form of tsar. Okay? But we're not going to call that tirda. What's tirda? Tirda means I'm consumed with other thoughts, and therefore I can't possibly be expected to do this mitzvah properly. I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to call it tirda. Why not? Well, that's funny. Why am I not going to call it that? What's wrong with you, Avi? What are you killing the guy for? The Taz is saying like this. You can't tell me that patur is a patur of tirda, meaning I'm going to be uncomfortable in the sukkah, and therefore I can't possibly concentrate on the fact that what I'm doing is a mitzvah. Right? If you remember, especially those guys that have been in the halacha shir, so we said, with regard to sukkah, you have language in the Torah that you don't have with regard to other mitzvahs. You have lama'an. Lama'an yeidu darasechem ki oshavti es b'nei Yisrael ki besukos oshavti es b'nei Yisrael. You'll know forever, for eternity, for throughout the time, that I, God, placed the children of Israel in Sukkos. That's why you should sit in the Sukkah. In order that you know. Lama'an Yedu. You have that in a few places. You have it with regard to Talis, and you have it with regard to Tefillin. Elsewhere, the Torah doesn't say, do this mitzvah, Lama'an. Right? You don't have that. Tzitzis and Tefillin, and over here. Sukkah. So the Bach says, in all those cases, you have to have a special kavana. So the Taz is not necessarily saying that you have to have a special kavana, but he's saying that tirda means I can't focus on the mitzvah. And therefore, I can't be expected to fulfill the mitzvah because I can't think about it. Oh, but I'm not going to say just because there's flies, heat, cold, or something else that I can't be expected to think about the mitzvah. Why? Adarabba. A person will then certainly remember the mitzvah. Because why else is he here? Why else am I in the sukkah now if it's not a mitzvah, right? If we would require the guy to sit in the sukkah when it was cold out, would he say, oh, I'm potter because I can't contemplate that this what action I'm doing is a mitzvah? No. Of course, that's all he'd be thinking about. This crazy mitzvah that I have to do, right? It's a mitzvah. Otherwise, I would never be here. So that's not what is pottering him. You see, in fact, that's why we sit in the sukkah, the Taz reminds us, that's why we sit in the sukkah in Tishrei and not in Nisan. Shumukhrach leshev b'mokam shu tzarlo, k'deita b'sim and tafresh chavhei. Da'al kein tziva Hashem yisbarach lasos sukkah b'tishrei, v'lo b'nisan. Ki b'tishrei holchin shar anoshim in asukkah. Because in Tishrei, the rest of the world is packing up their outdoor furniture and they're moving inside. And we specifically go out. B'ze arminan she'eino pater. Ella Imkain, go ahead. Ella Imkain. Lehinatzel. Stop. So in this category of tsar, says the Taz, in this category of tsar, we say she'eino pater el imkin yeshlo makom sheyuchal lehinatzel. Lehinatzel means to be saved. To be saved. So literally what the Taz is saying is we only pater you in this category of tsar, in this first category of tsar, if what? If you have a place to seek refuge from the tsar. Now, I have to be honest. Literally, that's what he's saying. It sounds like you could walk away with the impression that if you have bugs in your sukkah, but you have bugs in your house, you won't be potter because you have no place to seek refuge from the bugs. I personally don't think that's what he means. I think that he's describing the type of tsar.
Well, why would the house be any hotter than the sukkah?
Let's say.
Would they also be the same?
What's that? No, I mean today.
Wouldn't their house be just as warm?
Just as hot?
Yeah.
Not necessarily. It could be better shade. It could be made differently. It could be different material. I don't know. I don't know. Think about it. Today, if a person goes in the house, isn't it more comfortable sometimes? No, even without air conditioning. Even without air conditioning.
You know, saying back then, though, their house was
Well, no, have you gone in the caves they have and stuff? Like,
yeah,
caves are nice and cool.
Could be in a cave. Depends when. It depends when. It depends what the house is made out of. That's not akasha. Yeah, different things absorb heat, different things reflect heat. I'm not so bothered by that, Kasha. But what he's saying is like this. If the tsar is of the type that one could seek refuge from it, meaning bugs in the sukkah are bugs in the sukkah. I'm putter from being in the sukkah because that's the type of tsar that is subject to being removed by my going to a different location. It doesn't mean literally that, let's say I choose not to. Let's say I don't go into my house, I go someplace else. Or my house has bugs, but your house doesn't. So I can go in your house. You tell me because your house has no bugs, mine does, therefore I'm not putter from sukkah because my own personal house happens to have bugs. Or my air conditioner is broken. Let's take your case. It's just as hot in my house as it is in the sukkah. But I can go next door, or I can go someplace else. You're going to tell me now because my house is just as hot, I'm not putter anymore? I don't think that's what he means. I think he's describing the type of tsar. The nature of the tsar has to be such that it's inherent in the sukkah experience. But if I would go elsewhere, I could remove that tsar, then I'm potter. Right? That's the first type of tsar. But now he goes on to say there's a different type of tsar. Aval shar tirda. Now he introduces the tsar of tirda. We'll call this tsar beis, tsar b. Go ahead, Adam. So now you have tsar that comes to a person, mitzad acher, not from the sukkah. Comes from something else. Comes from something else. For example, chole, a person who's sick. Is he uncomfortable? Is the chole discomforted because of the sukkah? Okay, good. So that was, let's leave that for the moment. But his base discomfort, his initial discomfort, it's not from the sukkah, it's because he has the flu, right?
So is that the distinction between a chola and a tzar haguf?
No, he's saying chola is any other tzar haguf. Tzar haguf and a chola are all the same, right? She'ein lo nichus etvei babayis misukkah. If I go in the sukkah, I'm going to be just as much afflicted by the flu as I am in my house.
Yeah,
if I go,
you might get certain other symptoms outside.
Okay, let's take one thing at a time. Let's just deal with what he's saying, right? There are others who don't like this explanation, but let's just try to explain what the Taz is saying. Two types of tsar. One type of tsar is where it's inherent in the sukkah. Another type of tsar is one that's from outside. It's external. It's mitzad acher. it's a chola or other tzar haguf, where I have no greater nichusa, I have no greater comfort outside the sukkah than I do in the sukkah. Afilu hachi, still, I'm potter. In these cases, in the cases where I have a tzar haguf. Why? Potter mitzad. Stop there. This is the second type of tzar that potters me from sukkah. Even though it's not inherent in the sukkah. And even though I'm going to take it with me no matter where I go, I can't get away from it, I'm still potter from the sukkah. Why? Because this tzar does something to me. What does it do? It creates a tirda for me. And what's the problem with a tirda? I can't fulfill the mitzvah with which I am charged. I can't fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah. It's impossible. Why? Because I'm tired. I'm sitting in the sukkah and all I can think about is my headache, my fever, my sneezing, whatever it is. I'm so consumed with that, I can't concentrate on the fact that what I'm supposed to be doing here is a mitzvah. Who mentioned kavana before? Someone asked me earlier about kavana in the sukkah.
That was me.
That was you? Oh, okay, good. I was looking around the table, I was trying to remember who it was, and without the Skype, I'm sorry. Okay, I'm glad you spoke up. Right, it was Zach. So here is where the Taz now introduces the element of kavana insofar as it relates to tzar. So you have a tzar where the tzar comes from the sukkah, the heat, the cold, the smell, the flies. That's inherent. That's tzar from the etzem yeshiva basukkah. But now you have another type of tzar. Another type of tzar, it stays with you no matter where you go, but yet you still potter. Why? Because these types of tzar create a tirda. And the tirda prevents you from fulfilling the mitzvah. I can't fulfill the mitzvah because I'm so torrid.
You're still darving, don't you? If you're not
good, good. Good question. Chola, he's talking about chola now.
The chola is still darving also.
Good question. The reason that you're mentioning and the reason someone else already mentioned, others don't like this approach of the Taz, but at least they want to just get the position on the table. So the second type of tzar is the tzar of tirda, and tirda potters you just because you cannot focus on the mitzvah. Now, with this, we have a third approach to the Gemara. What's the third approach to the Gemara? So we have the Rosh, the Ritva, Rishonim, and now the way the Taz is learning the Gemara is as follows. V'im Kain. Go ahead, Adam. V'im Kain. Right, Im Kain, two Rosh Tevos. Hava Amina. Hava Amina, Hu Hadin. Hava Amina, Hu Hadin. I would think that the same rule applies, Nami over here. By Ovel. How so? Ovel. De Potter. I would think that he's Potter. Even though he has no greater or less tsar in the sukkah or in the house, his Avelis, the tsar of his Avelis, goes with him wherever he goes. The tzar of his Avelis follows him around. So it's not like the tzar, it's not like the first category of tzar, right? But maybe I'll say what? Maybe I would say, Afal Pishein Lo Chiluk Bein Bais L'Sukkah, maybe he should be Chayiv. Just like who? Just like the Chola. Just like the Chola is Potter because what? He's Tarud. Even though he can't get away from his tsar, yeah, it's not tsar. It's not tsar A, it's tsar B. Tsar B is a tsar of tirda. You're so overwrought with what's going on. You're so distraught. You're so preoccupied. You cannot now focus on the mitzvah. So if you'll tell me that's true about the chola, a sick person, now everyone should be a little bit surprised. I'm quite frank, a little surprised that there's not a greater reaction about that. Is that what everyone assumed is the reason for chola being putter? If I would have asked you yesterday, why is a chola putter from sukkah? Would you tell me, oh, because he's tarud? Because he can't focus on the mitzvah? That's why he's putter?
Yeah.
That's what you would think?
Why wouldn't we think
that? I'm asking you. I mean, I never thought that. I still don't think that. But you wouldn't say that.
No.
No.
What would you think? Because he... What would be the other option?
Well, you got to think about it.
Shouldn't we thought of?
Well, now you're already predisposed to thinking this.
Yeah, I know. So I'm saying, what would I have thought? Yeah, I'm asking, what would I have
thought? I'm saying, what's the more classic way of thinking about tzar? Until we saw this Taz, we didn't know about two dinim and tzar. What would you have said? I tell you, a sick guy doesn't have to sit in the sukkah.
I would say that makes sense.
Why?
Because it's his
health. Okay, because he's sick. Circular. I mean,
it's a health issue.
Health issue. Health forget. Let's say it's not going to kill him. Precedent. No, let's say it's not going to. It's not. Yeah. It's not a chol shish bo sakana.
It's mitzdar.
What?
Enjoyable.
Yeah, what do you mean, mitzdar?
That's it.
But what do you mean? What do you say?
I mean, it could make things worse.
But it's not like a regular mitzdar. It's not mitzdar from the sukkah.
It's from gavra.
Yeah. What do you mean, gavra?
No, it's internal.
What? Stop.
It's accidental.
We would have said something. I think we would have thrown around the term mitzda'er, right? We would have said something about the experience in the sukkah being flawed. But we wouldn't have said that the reason is because he can't concentrate on the mitzvah. I would not have said that. Maybe others would have come up to that on their own. It's, oh yeah, of course, it's bashar because he's tarred. How could a cholah be mekayim the mitzvah of sukkah? He can't think about the kavana.
What would you have thought?
So I said we would have said something about tzar, something about mitzdayer. So let's table that for a second. I'm just saying I was expecting a greater reaction here. But in any event,
Why is mitzdayer inherently going to exempt someone though?
Okay, good. So why is that?
Yeah, that's.
So what? Because of teshu kain tadur.
No. I'm saying why. So
tzar aleph, the first type of tzar that he identifies.
Tzar that's inherent in the person, like the pain.
In the person?
Yes. Yeah, the pain. He's a sick guy.
The second type of tzar. The tzar mitzad acher. Yeah, he calls that tzar mitzad acher, external tzar, like chola or tzar haguf, or some other type of tzar haguf.
Okay.
Yeah, what about it?
So in that case.
Why is he putter?
So, no, he's putter from the sukkah, I understand. But did we get to the discussion of is he putter from tefillah?
No, he's only talking about sukkah here. Right. What I'm saying is, those questions are some of the questions that are lodged against this Taz.
So incidentally, is he putter from tefillah?
Well, there's a unique rule with regard to tefillah. If a guy can't concentrate, he can't not let the daven. I mean, tefillah, the whole endeavor of tefillah requires kavana.
Let's put it a different way. Is he putter from saying
kiddush? No, he's not putter from other mitzvahs. We don't say, well, you know what, the guy's he's distracted, so... Well, depends. It depends how distracted he is.
Yeah.
Depends how distracted he would be. But there are different types of chola also. So right now the Taz is saying that's the reason for the patur of the chola. So I would think that applies to the avel also. Kamash malon, the ainza mikri tir the klal. The reason why the chola is potter, you're right, because he's tarid, and he has tsar mitzad acher. He's fully engrossed in his own discomfort. He can't concentrate on the mitzvah. He's potter, but the avel. That's not true. The avel, it's not true. Why is it not true? Because it's not the same type of tirda. Why is it not the same type of tirda? Because bailei suvei daite. So now this needs to be explained. Just factually, what the Taz is saying is the hava mina was that the chola and the avel are similar. They both have tsar mitzad acher, and they should both be torid, and they should both be potter for that reason. Just like the avel, just like the chola is potter for that reason, I'll say the avel is also potter for that reason. No, kamash malon, he's chayev. Why? Oh, because boili suve daite. Because he can remove his tirda. We could tell him, listen, buck up, camper. Focus. Right? We'll slap on the side of the head. We'll say, listen, focus. You can have kavana. The chola, no matter what I tell him, right? I'll shake him by his lapels and I'll tell him, listen, get a grip, man. Nothing going to happen. It's innate.
It's physical.
There's nothing you can do about it.
It's physical.
Right. It's inherent.
To have kavana when you're like throwing up and stuff.
It's not possible. Yeah. We're saying the reason why he can't kavana is because he's afflicted internally, physically, innately. Innately. Over here, the avel is external.
No, it's the opposite.
Okay, it's very nice.
It's the opposite.
That's the maskana, but what's the havamina? I'm saying that still needs to be explained. But what the Taz is trying to say is that was the Gemara's havamina. That just like the chola has this patur of tarud, I'll tell you the avel has the same type of tirda. No, kamash malon, this type of tirda is different. It's a different type of tirda. Why? Because this type of tirda is tirda de nafshe. It's tsar B maybe, but it's tsar B that he brought about by himself. And what do you tell him? No, you gotta listen. You got mitzvahs to do, buddy. You gotta focus. That's what the Taz would have us tell him. But we still need to now explain the Havmin over here. So he says, "Im Kain." I don't know if it's V'ef Shalomar. V'ef Shalomar, Im Kain, Maika Mashmalon, the Im Kain, Aim Mistar, Machmas Tir de Potter, El Kigon Chola. It's not just chola that's potter, by the way. It's their attendants, right?
Depending upon how badly they're sick.
The chola needs an attendant, so the chola is potter and the attendant is potter. But now the Taz is saying, one second. If you tell me the reason why the chola is potter is because he can't concentrate, what about the attendant? The attendant doesn't have a concentration problem. So he says, "Kigon chola kvar shemini le mas nisin chola misham shein potter." Yesh lomar da higufa kamashlon. Dafa gav di afshali hinatzel ve'im mas nisin hava mina dafka b'chola sheish lo chiluk bein bias l'suka. Avam ein lo chiluk chayev kamashmalon da fil hachi potter. Kevin de mitzdar hu v'torid. He doesn't like the rush. He rejects the rush. He says, "I don't need the rush as explanation." The Havamina Maskana of the Gemara. He calls it a Svara Dechuka.
Is the Taz still explaining?
Yeah, the Taz says. So he says, with this approach, I don't need the rush. I don't need the rush as a difficult Svara. That the reason why the guy is going to be more in tsar is because he wants to be in the house. He wants to be in the house alone. That's why going into the sukkah is going to cause a tsar. The Taz says, "I don't need that. I'll tell you very simply. The guy is sick. He's sick inside. He's sick outside. Going into the sukkah, even if I'll tell you it's no greater tsar, it's still a tir though." So he says, "I'll say the same thing about this about the avel. The avel. It's not that the avel wants to be dafka out of the sukkah so he could be upset. That's wild. That's a wild possibility. It's a wild suggestion." He says, "I'll tell you, Pasha. The avel is consumed with his avelus." He's going to be just as consumed inside as he will be outside. What's the Havmina? The Havmina is that's enough of a tier that to tell you he's potter. Kamash Malan, no. He's not. Boili Suve Daite. That's a type of tier that you can remove. Chol can't remove his tier though. He does not like the Rosh. So now you have Rosh, you have the Ritva, and now you have the Taz. But the Taz, I think we need to explain a little bit better. I mean, so we have factually what he's saying. But we don't have the Svara down. Zach, you hear the Ritva? Was that a yes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Question,
yeah.
You said the attendant of the chola is also exempt from the sukkah.
Right, we need to try to explain that. We need to try to explain how that works.
He's torrid about the actual chola, so he can't concentrate.
Sounds like an optional, sounds like a rishus. Sounds like an optional tirda. Sounds like the oval space.
Yeah, I don't know if you can use that same logic. That same logic sounds fishy for them. Optional. I mean, if you have someone sitting next to you and they're coughing, sneezing, hacking, whatever, it's kind of hard to concentrate.
So you leave the room.
I don't know if it's a concentration.
So exactly. You leave the room.
Yeah.
You would have to leave the sukkah.
So no, the other way around.
No.
You want to say the chol will be inside, and you'll go out to the sukkah. Why should you Why should you be pot there? Because you can't concentrate on the mitzvah? That's hard to say.
So I'm saying, so maybe that's not the rule. What I would say, what I would really think is that the only kind of a chola that would need an attendant is a chola that's really, really serious and that needs attention.
Oh, no.
Therefore, he would have to be halachically like...
You mean like a pikur nefesh?
Right.
Yeah, I don't think we're necessarily saying that.
What if it's more like bound in a more like emotional sense, like he needs that comfort from somebody.
Okay, even that.
He just requires he wants somebody with him.
Okay, could be even that case.
That would make more sense than like a physical, like, oh, I'm dying here, because like...
Obviously, in those cases, you pot there. Obviously, in the case where a person needs you because it's a sakranas nefashos, there's nothing to talk about. You don't need any special limudim for that. You don't need a special rule to tell me the cholam shamshayim. You tell me that's it. V'chai b'hem.
You can also say then you can also say that it's not, like he said, because then that would be considered, bikur cholam. And that's a mitzvah. And
yeah, but you don't. No one says you have to go.
All right.
Well, let's get too far. We're getting too far. It definitely has something to do. Yeah, it has something to do with the chola. So what? Excuse me. What I'd like to.
Why can't you say it's just
all
sacred mitzvah, not semi mitzvah?
Some want to say that. Some want to give that answer, that the attendant of the chola is.
With the chola.
What's that?
Why chola.
Right. So you want to say that the chola misham sheim don't stem from the same patur. The chola is potter for one reason, and the misham sheim potter for a different reason.
Yeah.
Okay. There are those who suggest that. We'll see that not everyone likes that either.
Yeah, because they don't have that type of like preoccupation. They don't have that. Type
right. It's hard to say that it's because of a tirada. So maybe we have to try to find another common basis for pottering them. But again, for the Taz, we're going to have to answer up for the Taz how it works out. So tomorrow, hold on to the sheet. Yeah, Zach, I should have sent it to you this morning. I'm sorry I didn't. I'll send you a sheet with the Taz and the Aruch HaNer and the Rush on it. You could take a look at it for tomorrow. We're going to go over this Taz. Sorry?
Is it the source or it's like actually the words and stuff?
No, yeah, I have the actual text of it on a sheet. So we'll see the Aruch HaNer who does not like the Taz. He rejects the Taz. But I'd like to try to just work out the Taz a little further to explain what exactly the Havamina Maskana was. We understand the Maskana, but we still need to explain the Havamina. Yeah, I'm sorry, Chaim.
No, the Riff and the Rush makes sense.
Good.
It doesn't seem like
the Taz needs to be worked out a little bit.
He seems like he's up. Like, it's okay to have a disagreeing opinion, but his opinion doesn't even seem like a...
That's like an opinion?
It's like a third party.
Okay, so Blina, we'll pick up with this this point tomorrow. Okay?
So the Taz is...
All right, Zach, we'll see you tomorrow. Is he still there?
Yo, Zach.
That's it, he's out. Back in the elevator.